I guess more than a month ago, that Pastor Chu was asking me is whether I will be able to fill in, since he will be out in, I don't know whether he's in Richmond or he's going to be in Boston for some wedding. Boston or Richmond, I don't know exactly. But anyway, I was so happy, I was so delighted, because I think sometimes that, and that's what we as a Christian can do, is always being able to share each other's burden. And I know he have a heart for you folks, and again, you know, we also have a heart for you as well. In fact, I was asking him, I say, right now, what are you teaching in the worship? And he said that he is doing the book of Galatians. In fact, Galatians is one of the book that I enjoy it because I learned it from this particular book. It helped me to really to know that what a Christian really is all about. And in fact, now today we come to Galatians chapter 5, and it's talking about very key information that we need to learn. As a Christian, what does it mean to have freedom in Christ? So I think one of the things that I like about this is that I'm sure that you are familiar with that the national anthem, the American. It's always talk about at the end of it, you know, say, you know, what do you remember what's the end of the national anthem say is the last two words? In the what? In the land of the free and the home of the brave. See, when I first came to the United States as a student, I was so happy. Why I'm so happy? Because I'm going to college. See, I know that now I'm away from home. Maybe that's the freedom that I was looking for. I can do, you know, whatever I want, okay? I figured out that I will have personal independence. I don't have my parents, you know, sticking around telling me what to do. Then I can also make my own decision and decide what major my path of life is all about. And then I can do whatever I want. Nobody tell me what time to go to bed, what time to get up and things like that, whatever I want, okay? Yes, those are what we call outside freedom, okay? We perceive that, you know, it is what it is. But today, when we look at the book of Galatians, you know, he really telling us that the freedom in Christ is completely different. In fact, you know, we have to really look into that, what is that really related to what Jesus was teaching us all this time when he was on earth. In fact, if you look at the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18, he say that what Jesus was doing, that he revealed himself as the Messiah. And he say that he'll come to the earth to what? To proclaim freedom. See, at that time, the Pharisee, the people, doesn't really quite understand what does it mean by freedom in Christ. And also, you know, in John chapter 8, verse 36, there's a different occasion, but Jesus says something. I think we are familiar with that. He said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You see, that means that we have the freedom that we don't have it before. And now we can live in this freedom for the rest of our life. Isn't it interesting to see that Jesus say that, okay? What Jesus is saying that he's not saying that we are free to do what we want to do, but rather what Jesus is saying that he's freeing us to do what we ought to do. That's why he saved us for a reason. Like what I mentioned earlier, we take the communion because we want to identify with Jesus. We want to follow Jesus the rest of our life. See, he, in fact, what Jesus has done is that he liberating us to walk in relationship with God. And that's that we want to be the kind of people he creates to be. It's not like the old way. The old way is that, In the Old Testament time, the people do not necessarily have relationship all the time. They have to do all kind of regulation and things like that in order to do that. But in here, what Jesus is saying that it is being changed. In fact, today when we first look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Standing firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." I mentioned earlier that in the Old Testament time, people want to have the relationship with God. They have to perform a lot of ritual, follow a lot of laws in order to have the right relationship with God. But here, when Jesus comes, and that is completely different. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 34, something Jesus said really shocked the Pharisee. The Pharisee think that I'm the teacher, I know everything already. But Jesus said that, "Say, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." The Pharisee was saying that, "How can you say this to me, to us? We know the law. We are doing everything that what the law requires. In fact, we expand the thing. We expand all the Mosaic law to so many different regulations. We add on to it. But the thing is, how can you say that we live in sin?" But see, what Jesus is saying to them is that we are all under the control and under the power of a natural tendency to sin, because we are born in sin because of what our Adam and Eve have sinned and fall in the Garden of Eden. Because of that, we are the descendant of Adam and Eve, and we have this sin tendency. The sin nature is in us. In fact, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 is saying, reminding us that. He says, "For all have sins and fall short of the glory of God." What does it tell us? What does it tell us? Is it something that, you know, we are hopeless? Absolutely not. In fact, you know, that's why Jesus come. And saying that, if you're going to accept Jesus as a Lord and Savior, because he has died on the cross to pay for us for our sin, we are born again. You see, as we submitted to Christ, sin lost its power, and Christ's power take over. So now we choose to what? To trust and follow him, and our sinful habit, whatever that we want to get rid of, it is possible for us to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then what happens is that when we are under the control of the Holy Spirit, our guilt disappears. Our peace of mind is going to dominate our life. And our right habit is going to come. That becomes normal. And that is the freedom. That's the freedom. That's what we are talking about. Galatians chapter 5. That's the freedom we are talking about. So today what I'm trying to relate to you is that you got to remember three things I say put it here. Freedom in Christ is not the right to do what we want, but the ability to do what we ought to do. Second thing is that without Christ, we are slaves to sin, unable to do what is right. The third thing is that Christ died on the cross will set us free from the penalty and the power of sin. Okay? That's that simple. That's what I'm going to talk about. So now, when we look at that in Galatians, I should go ahead and read the Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 first, okay? I think this is to set the tone for what we are studying today. We say, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." See, sometimes that we don't realize that if we live on our old life, it seems that we have a lot of baggage that we are carrying. And those are things that carry us. That's a habit that we have. What we used to when we were young, we don't know much better than that. But when we become a Christian now, we need to look into that. Okay? So in fact, you know, what Paul is saying is that Galatians 5 from 2 to 6. Shirley. Okay. If we can, please read it together. Can you read it together? And say it out loud, please. I, Paul, said to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are served with Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcised nor uncircumcised count for anything, but only faith working through love. Do you remember last week what Pastor Chu mentioned about this circumcision? What the Judaizer bring into idea for the Gentile believer, saying that you want to be a true Christian, you got to follow the tradition of circumcision. You know anything about circumcision? You haven't heard of the term before? Okay. Circumcision is one of the symbols that when God and Abraham set up the Abrahamic covenant, that set up that you have to circumcise your male boy 8 days after they're born. That is saying that you will keep that. This is all like agreement that between God and Abraham. That if you do that, I will bless you. Okay? And I bless you and give you the land and eventually set up, you know, the kingdom. So for them to really think that they are the descendant of Abraham, the chosen people that they are, they have to do the circumcision. But there's also regulation come behind, after that. And what was that? That's later. That is through the Mosaic law. If you study the first five books of the Old Testament, what we call the Pentateuch, then you find out that the law was given by Moses to all the Israel people. That not only that they need to circumcise, but they also need to doing everything that the law have described to them. That is the way that they will have the right kind of relationship with God. So that's the setting. So if you want to follow God to have the relationship, you have to have circumcision, but also follow the law. But they all know that it's almost impossible. And that is the problem with the law. In fact, now you folks are going to college. I think that's good, because you're going to expose to a lot of things. In fact, even talk about religions in school, you have a lot of different groups in there. I don't know whether this particular UVA have an organization, whether it is by the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness. Okay? See, those are the what we call, sometimes the Christian will call it, they are the cult. Why do we call them the cult? Because for them, there is a lot of laws and regulation and social expectation, and that come along with it. And in fact, I know for sure that even the Mormon Church, okay, it's automatic. When you join the church, you know, your income is 10%. You go to the church. That is very strict. And then you have to do a lot of things. You know, the Mormon young, the young men in the Mormon Church, after they finish high school, they have served 2 years as a missionary to go out to proselyte, you know, to make people to follow the Mormon faith. Okay? And then the Jehovah's Witness, they have to do a lot of good things. You know, they are the ones that who go out to door, hang out all the brochure and things like that. So that they were trying to get people in there to do their Bible study and guide them to the way that they think it is. But those are just an obvious thing. But underneath there's a lot more regulation. They will not tell you that. Okay? Because that's the way that you want to be saved. You want to, you know, to have your eternal life. Those are the things they add on to it. In fact, I would say that almost all the cult will do the same thing. It's, even though they're using the name of Jesus, but they always add something else. It's Jesus and, like Pastor Chu was talking about. For Christian, what do we believe? It's Jesus only. Jesus is the only one. So be aware of that. If someone's salvation is tied to the behavior and the attitude and the appearance and follow a set of rules, that there's no freedom at all. Okay? If you make mistake, and you know, you will be judged by the people. But here in the Christian church, nobody's going to judge you, because you know why? You are accountable to God. In fact, God sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us. You see, and that's what we need to submit to the will of the Holy Spirit, and automatically, we will not do the kind of things that is not going to honor God. See? Sometimes, okay, appearance is important, okay? But the thing is that what is in your heart is more important. So we don't have to depend on other people to see how good that we are. But rather, we need to know that in God's eye, how good that I am. How am I living out as an ambassador for Christ? See, that is important. See, in fact, Jesus loves us in spite of what we are. We make mistakes, we stumble, it's okay. Because we are still living in our old self, our old body. And we need to be renewed. In fact, we need to renew it every day. In spite of all this imperfection, Jesus still loves for us and still really care to be with us. In fact, Jesus loves us because of who he is, not because of who we are. Sometimes that we feel like that we have to do certain things in order your parents will love you more. I don't think so. In fact, if we ask your parents, okay, you'll find out that no matter what happened to you, the love for your parents to you is always there. I would say that, 99.9% of the time, the parents are like that. Okay, so I just want you to know that. But on the other hand, in 1 John chapter 4:19, it's a response that John the Apostle responds to God. He says, as a Christian in the body of Christ, we love because he first loved us. See, love is the ultimate thing that what we need to do in order to do that. God is holy, he's beautiful, he's pure, he's infinite, his righteousness, because God is love. The nature of love is what? Is to give. See, I want you to know that you don't think that, you know, say, well, what can I do? What can I love? You know, what can I do? It's to give. Give what? Give your talent, give your time, give your service, to see that in what area God puts you in so that you can live out the life that God asks you to be. See? So when God say, you know, it's a response for us, for his first love to us, then we can really live. And that's what freedom is. The freedom is that we can live the life to love God and love other people. Okay? And that's what we have to remember. In fact, we look at that. Go to the next slide, please. Okay. I'm going to chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Let's go ahead and read it together. For we were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. See, The law and regulation in the Old Testament is so binding that you have to do that. In fact, Paul is telling the Gentile believers, you see, because Jesus dying on the cross, all the obligation, the requirement of the Old Testament law is completely fulfilled because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And that's the reason why we don't need to do that to follow those old law and regulation, whether we need to go to celebrate, you know, the different festival in Jerusalem and things like that. We no longer need to do that. In fact, we don't need to be circumcised because now we are circumcised in our heart by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the first time that you come to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior, when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, and you are at that time, your spirit, your heart is being circumcised by the Holy Spirit. And that's a time that the Holy Spirit can live in you and guiding you and watching over you. See? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, saying that, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinner. Now, as a Christian, we are under the umbrella of Christ. God sees our righteousness is not what we have done, but rather God sees our righteousness is because of what Jesus has done. See, that is so crucial for us to realize that. See, but again, if that's the case, does Christian need to worry about the Old Testament laws? Now, how do we apply that in our life today? You see, we got to look at that. Earlier, I mentioned a little bit about the Old Testament law, because that's the one that helps us to understand what God would like His people to do. So now we need to consider the law as an external set of rules that guide us. You see, it's not for us to follow, but rather give us a very clear understanding, you know, what a true Christian should be. In fact, because of the Holy Spirit in our heart, okay, and then we are following that, all of a sudden, we are doing everything even the law have required for us to do, but we are doing that even without thinking about it. See, that is the freedom that we have. See? In fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 28 says that, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. See, that's why we are saved by faith, not by work. Okay? And then also Romans 4, chapter 4, verse 5 says that, to the one who does not work, we do not work. But believe in Him, we believe in Jesus, who justified the ungodly. His faith is counted as righteousness. That's what I mentioned earlier. Now God sees us as righteousness. We have a relationship with God. We can pray directly to God. It's because God sees our righteousness through Christ. And that is important. So now we are no longer justified by following the law, but we are justified by faith. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are Christian now, okay? And we are indwelled by the Spirit, okay? And in fact, John chapter 14, verse 23 saying that, Jesus said, now we make our home with them. Remember that, you know, I don't care whether you're young or you're old. Always remember that Jesus is with you. Doesn't matter what situation, what location, wherever you are, Jesus is with you. In fact, the reason that we cannot do a lot of things, like we cannot sin secretly, is because we know that Jesus is with us. If we remember that, I would say that you will sin less and less. Okay, because you know that Jesus is there with you. Again, we also look at that. You know, we talk about freedom, right? What does Scripture say about freedom? In Luke 4:18, he says that, Earlier, I mentioned that earlier already. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, that Jesus is talking to the people, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. See, we are, if we are under the law, we are being oppressed by the law. We are follow the guideline, we're so restricted. But because of Jesus, we no longer need to follow everything prescribed by the Old Testament law. John chapter 8, verse 32 say that. He say, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what today we are talking about. Now you know the truth. You no longer need to follow the law. Because why? Jesus has set you free. So try to remember, live your life as in freedom, not in boundary, not under the weight of sin, but live free for Jesus. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 to 30, they say, let it be known to you, therefore, brother, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him, everyone who believes is free from everything from which you could not be free by the law of Moses. Wow, see, Paul, this is actually Peter, make it so clear to all the Jewish people as well as the Gentile. It makes it so clear that we are free from everything that what Moses tells us to do in the law. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we are no longer bound by the old Mosaic law, but live in the freedom of Christ? One of the signs of being a true Christian is what? Besides believing the true gospel, is to experience a sense of freedom. I hope that if you have not had the sense of freedom before, you always think that being Christian, you have so many things that you need to do, you don't do. Forget about it. Forget about this. Just knowing that, you need to find out how the Holy Spirit guides you. I believe that we all can do that. I don't know how many of you have a consistent time to do a devotion every day. Sometimes I know in the college, it's pretty busy. Okay, you have so many things to do. Even at work, you have project you need to finish. You know, later you have a term paper you need to get done. But the thing is that to spend time with God is a very crucial thing for all of Christians. In fact, you know, I will encourage you, if you have not done so, is trying to at least spend maybe 15 minutes a day. I'm sure you spend more than 15 minutes on your cell phone, right? On your email, on your social media, right? But please, I hope that today you have the freedom to do all these things. But set up, this is not the rule. I'm not setting up the law for you. I'm just giving a suggestion. To spend that 15 minutes of time, follow a systematic type. If you study a book, the 15 minutes you can follow maybe a paragraph just to see that, to examine that, what God is speaking to you. You know, what kind of message that you need to know, and maybe what mistake you have made, and then pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the power to change. Every day, 15 minutes, you can do that. I challenge you to do that. See? In fact, we are free. You know, a lot of times we are free to drink what, coffee, tea, watch a movie, dance, whatever. Okay? Enjoy life. Okay? The important thing is that you can do all these things without sin. Okay? Now you will ask me, what is sin? I will turn around. Do you know what is sin? Do you know what is sin? Do you or you don't? I hope you do. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You know, when you start doing something that's not honoring the Holy Spirit, you know right away. Some people say there's conscience. I don't believe that. I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that is the seal that God has put in our heart. And that is the one who will guide us to do that. In fact, our freedom means that we cannot make other people stumble. Remember that. See, that is important. We cannot abuse our freedom. We are not to be so careless. In fact, we can live and not have worry about how our behavior will affect God's relationship with us. But it's not to say that He won't discipline us. Sometimes that if we choose to follow our own will to do things, you have to accept the consequence that comes after that. You know, in a college, I think that this is good, that you have all the different kind of activity. But remember that if you see something is not right, even though you're in the midst of it, you can always leave. You can always go away from that. I think that's important for us to, as a Christian, we should know that. And then, in fact, you say, one of the things that you say, we can do all things, but not all things is profitable. That is the Corinthian. He's talking about that Christian's freedom. Okay. In fact, Romans chapter 14, verse 21 to 22, saying that, he say, it's good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep it between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who have no reason to pass judgment on himself for in what he approved. See? That really tells us that, that is the guideline of our freedom. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13 saying that, he say, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 saying that, for you were called to freedom, brother, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but full love serve one another. So now today, I think I make it pretty clear to you guys. If you want to drink on campus, drink it in a proper manner. Okay? Don't get drunk. Don't do any kind of binge drinking. Okay, those are things that are not helpful. And it's not honoring God either. But on the other hand, if you have friends, make sure that you are the influence, in the group, not being influenced by the wrong thing that they do. See, that is important. For us, you have so many organizations on campus that you can join. Find those that who are in line with what Christians is all about. See, don't go to something that completely against that we will honor God. See, that is what is important for us. See, in fact, the New Testament law is only this, very simple. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 40, okay, just think about this. It's to loving God and loving your neighbor. Isn't that amazing? In the New Testament, what Jesus taught us is just loving God and loving your neighbor. And that's it. That's all we need to do. In fact, we want to do the things that I would want other people to do to me. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's how it will guide us, no matter what it is. Okay? And then also, there's a call for us to express our love. That is from God, is to love not only the people in your small group, not only the people in the church, but extend that to your co-worker, to extend this kind of love to your teammate, to extend that to your partner. Sometimes I know that, in college it's sometimes so obvious that you have this, the mindset of competition, okay, rather than cooperation between your team. You see, what is the purpose to go to college? It's to learn, to enrich yourself, okay? So that you learn not only that you learn from the professor, but you learn from one another. Sometimes that is a very important thing that we forget. We just think that, well, I work hard, I've learned that, I'm not going to share anything to other people. No, if you want to love other people, you know, share with them. It doesn't mean that, you know, giving all your work for someone else to copy, but rather, you know, giving them an idea where you come out to this particular conclusion. Okay? And that's what we need to do. Live our life that truly showing that you're loving God and loving people. In fact, today what we're talking about is that we are dying with Christ to the law. That's a concept, right? And a lot of Christians, we are not aware of it. I just want that. Now, right now, we already die with Christ. And that's what the communion is all about. Okay? He has died on the cross for us. We are dying with him. This morning, we took his body and we took the Holy Communion, the bread and the grape juice, that truly reminding us that we are dying together with him. See? So now remember that. We are no longer going to live for ourselves. We are here to live for Christ. Okay? Of course, you know, when Paul is saying to the believer in the church in Galatians, he's saying that if you really want to follow the law, okay, as the what the Jewish people is, by obligation, you will have to follow everything. Okay? I know there's one church that nowadays they really consistently saying that it is so important to keep the Sabbath from Friday night, 6 o'clock, to Sunday night, 6 o'clock. They will completely, totally rest. I don't know whether you know this particular church. You know that particular church? They are a Christian church, but they hold on to that particular, you know, the doctrine. Okay? Because that's part of the Ten Commandments. That's the Seventh-day Adventist church. Okay, they call Seventh-day Adventists, okay? That's the particular one. They still keeping the Sabbath. Okay? But today, if we follow what we have learned today, what does that mean? I hope you get the picture of what I'm trying to get across to you. If you follow the Seventh-day Adventists, you know, what happened? Any response? You have to follow all the Old Testament law. Okay? Because you know what? Some of the Seventh-day Adventist church, they are vegan. They're vegetarian. But not all of them. Just within the church, they will have, you know, two different kind of group. But of course, if personally you think that that's good for you, go ahead, do it. But on the other hand, if you think there's a regulation for you to gain the favor of God, that is not true. And that's why I want you to understand that, okay? And make sure that you don't fall into that, okay? Of course, Romans chapter 7, verse 4 saying that you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. See, what I'm trying to relate to you is that our Christian life, the ultimate thing is to bear fruit so that people will come to know God. You see? How many of you at this moment have a friend, develop a friendship with somebody that you can try to share Christ with them? Do you have one? If you don't, that's okay. Pray that God will open the door for you. Okay, even now, you're new in school. This semester just started. Maybe in some of the club that you belong to, trying to find somebody who have a certain interest, you know, that you can get along with, you know, especially those who are non-Christian. Of course, it's good to be friends with Christian, but it's also good to be friends with non-Christian because that's the opportunity that you have to serve Christ with them. Share your life with them, okay? Not just telling people how good the Bible is. You know, but live out the example what a true Christian is. And I think that's important. Okay? So now I hope that we all come to that. In fact, I think that Pastor Chu had mentioned about this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 to 20. Okay? I'm going to read it to you so that you will remember that. He said, through the law, I die to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is so beautiful in the book of Galatians, telling us that what our position in Christ is all about. See, often we forget the privilege, the position that we are. And that's why we cannot live a victorious life. I think the book of Galatians reminds us over and over again, that's how God loves us. God does not, you see, nowadays we don't live in the Old Testament time. We expect as a punishment. We are all living under grace. God is not going to punish us, but rather we're trying to keep ourselves away from God. Not God trying to keep away from us, but rather we keep ourselves away from God if we sin, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Okay? Now because we're in Christ, now we can say that, you know, we can live with him. Now, so I hope that this will remind us that, you know, what is this all about? Okay? In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I hope that you all remember this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I hope that we all can live out our life as a new Christian, a new person in the body of Christ. And that's what we need to do. Our responsibility is that we are called to freedom. Okay? And do not use your freedom as an opportunity to do the flesh. But really, remember that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, saying that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. So that's why, you know, the kind of bad habits should not happen in your life. You need to get rid of it. How? Hopefully, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Another thing, by your friends. I hope that you have friends in the church. I hope you have friends in the, you know, in the small group. I hope that, you know, inside that particular group of friends that you have, they are all have the same mind, same thing, same kind of thought that you have, is to honor God in everything that you do. That is encouragement to you. The reason that all things lawful to us is because that we are no longer to worry about the law, but we have the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. That is important. We seek for the Holy Spirit guidance for us every day. So now we are justified by faith. Now we are incredibly free. We are free to try and to please God, and we don't have to worry about failure. Failure is only another thing to give us opportunity to grow. Okay? Never concern about the shortcoming, but rather look at it as another new beginning. That's what we need to look at. We need to be careful with that. So we are free to love God and love our neighbor. We are free to have fun. We are free not to be perfect. We are free not to have to pressure to please our friends in the church or in our social media. We are free to rest in Christ. And in our freedom, we can explore what it means to live life and not live in fear. We are free from the requirement of the law, and so we are free to rest in Christ. So, brother and sister, I just want to encourage you that to live your life fully for Christ. Honor Him in everything, because Christ has set us free. I guess, in conclusion, I will make it so simple. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he's saying that Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I think today we realize that after taking the Holy Communion, we know that we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We can truly have the rest that comes through Him. And the last thing is that in John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus on the cross, the final word that He said, only the Gospel of John, write it down. And this is and Jesus said, "It is finished." All the requirement in the law, all the sacrifice, all the sacrificial lamb, all the offering, everything is all being done in Jesus. So let's go out this week to live a freedom life, to honor God, to be the person that God created us to be. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much that today we can come before you and receive the Holy Communion, reminding us that we are in Christ, the hope of glory. We thank you that you have set us free for all the rule and regulation. You have instilled in us the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have allowed the Holy Spirit to guide us the rest of our life till we meet you face to face up in heaven. So Lord, help us. Help us every day, even this week. Help us to live out our life to honor and glorify you, and also showing our love towards our neighbor. And may this week we live out gloriously for you and for you alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.